In my language, we say Mukama Yebazibwe, which the same word, and you're supposed to say Amina.
Amen.
Mukama Yebazibwe.
Amen.
Yeah, now, if you come to Uganda, you know what to say. I want to thank you so much, Pastor, and the whole leadership team, and the Freemans who are hosting us their house. We thank you so much. God bless you. We are happy to be here. Of course, we come from Uganda, and the people who live there have this color of mine. They are not your color. And so God has done so much in our country. There's nothing like here. The cities are different. The way of life is different. The people are different, and I am excited to be here. This is my second time in this church, and I thank you that you have let us come back. Last time I was not able to come back because my visa was denied. Thank God this time they have given me a green card so I can go, and I please as I want, that's good. I'm sorry that the video that you just saw was not so clear. But that's because we had a professional tell us he was going to do a video for us, and he ended up not finishing it. So my wife, in her great skills, she did a video. So I thank you for being patient. But that's about our ministry. We have a ministry called Sunrise Ministries, and this ministry has about four now major ministries within the one umbrella of Sunrise Ministry. We have a baby's home, we have a children's home, and we have the girl's home. And a children's home has a school that we have built, the girl's home has a school that they have built. And so God has done so many big things for us. From the last time I came here, we were looking for money to build, and I come back, is it 3 years later? And God has done all these big things. And I thank you for your support as this church. I thank you for your involvement in the ministry. I've heard so much things you have done in the Philippines. And what you are doing for us in Sunrise. And what you are doing in your community. And so I'm going to share something about God's Word. And I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony in that. I want to build my sermon. And so let us open God's Word in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. If you have your Bible, please open it. Chapter 6 of Matthew, starting from verse 19 to verses 21. And I'll read. Please follow if you have a Bible, because my accent is a little bit hard for you, so it's good if you're following along as I read. It says from verses 19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let us pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for this opportunity, for allowing me to share with the brothers at Sardis Baptist Church. And I thank you for what you have done for them, and I thank you for the good pastor you have given them and the whole leadership. I pray to continue guiding them and continue feeding them on your word. Holy Spirit, continue moving among your people and moving the gospel forward using this congregation. I thank you. I pray that as we listen and Holy Spirit, may you help us understand what your will is through your word today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to try and listen very, very hard, because as you can see, I don't speak American. I speak African English. And so that means you have to listen a little bit harder and also try to not scare me, and smile a little bit, because I am a little bit scared and intimidated by the moment. Anyway, I stand here today because someone who invested their life, their money, many years ago in 1994, came to Africa with his whole family and started a children's home. This was a man who most people would not even understand why he decided to go to Africa out of all the places that there was to go to. And considering his situation, this is a man who had lost his legs from the Vietnam War. And you would think he would stay in Uganda, in America, and enjoy his life, because the government had, because he lost his leg, the American government decided they are going to take care of all his needs. Take care of his wheelchair needs, his house, and he was getting money. And when he met Jesus, he realized there was a higher calling on his life. And so he started to adopt kids all over the world. I shared this testimony the last time I was here, but I'll just summarize it this time. And he came to Africa, in Uganda, East Africa. That's my home country. And he, with his family that he had adopted all over the world, he comes to Africa with his children. And when he got there, he saw the great need for children or kids who are orphaned by HIV AIDS, by diseases like malaria, like there was war in northern Uganda, and a lot of kids were orphans. So he says, I am going to do whatever I can to help. By the time the orphanage was at its highest, there was a total number of 260 kids in the orphanage that I grew up from. And this is because this man, when he understood God's word, he understood where to invest. And that is to invest in the kingdom. And that is to invest in children that had no one else to help them. Now, I don't know. I'm a visitor in America. I don't know. I understand a little bit about your culture. I read here and there about politics. But I know the top stuff. I don't know the deep stuff about America. But here's what I want to say. All of us, as long as you're still in this body, we fight with the flesh. We fight with selfishness. We don't invest our valuables, our materials, where we should be investing. We don't invest our time in where God's word is telling us to invest it. So that's why I wanted to share this time, as I come through and I say, I was praying, God, what can I share? And I realize the best thing for me to speak about is to speak about something like giving. And the funny thing is that in church, all over the world, people don't want you to talk about giving, because it makes them uncomfortable. And I'm sure if it's your pastor standing here and he was speaking, some of you will be there talking, now he wants our money. Yes, it is true. The pastor, the church needs your money, because the church cannot run without the money. And so, going back to God's word, the title of the message is Lay Up Treasures in Heaven. Number one, why? Why in heaven, not on earth? Moth and rust will destroy if you invest on earth. Because they're everything, whatever we can invest on earth is perishable. The good car, the beautiful wife. There are sometimes when I'm reading some stuff on the internet, and all of a sudden there's something that will jump up that shows you the video stars who used to be beautiful and how they look like now. We are so beautiful back then, now they have aged and they look funny. In Africa, when you go, you can go to a certain village and they will say, that house, the person who used to live there was rich. And by the look of the house and the compound, it is true, that person was rich. Many years have passed. Where is he? He passed away, and whatever he left is still there, and is rotting, and is rusting away. Everything we can invest here is perishable. And remember here, Jesus is not speaking to just anyone. He's speaking to the disciples. And it is not Paul speaking. It is Jesus himself speaking. You know, sometimes I am a very timid person. If you call me here to sing, I'll most likely wet my pants. But I stand here under the authority of God's word. And when you know who is speaking to you, that it is Jesus, then you know there's a strong man behind you. And now, I stand and I proclaim to you this word, because Jesus is the one who said it. We need to learn and know where to invest our time. We need to learn and know where to invest our most treasured time. Most of us, one of the things I like about America is Netflix. I like Walmart. I like the big trucks, like with big tires. And I make the ones that make loud sounds. Yes. And so sometimes when we're driving with my wife and we are on a traffic light stop, and then all of a sudden some truck pulls up in front of just me, and I'm looking at my wife, I'm like, that's what I like. I mean, but all these things, you can have them, and that truck can be on the road for 1 year, 2 years, and starts breaking down, and you start going to the shop all the time. And all of a sudden you will give up. And yet you spend so much money on that truck. So Jesus is telling them, we as Christians should live differently.
Yeah, that's right.
Why should we waste so much time living like this, investing here? Remember Jesus himself said, Paul says that we are ambassadors. And an ambassador represents wherever he's coming from. The American ambassador in the U.S., his job is to represent America in Uganda. We as Christians, we are supposed to represent heaven on earth.
Amen.
But sometimes, in your neighborhood, when people come and looking around, the ambassadors are not even seen. By the way we live, by the way we invest our time on Netflix, on the internet, it is very sad. With the coming of internet, that's where all our time is eaten up. And the sad thing also to add on that, it's not that we are reading about godly stories on the internet. No. We are wasting so much time on the internet. I am also part of it. As soon as I come from here and the internet is there, my head is like this on the phone. But Jesus is telling us today, if you invest on earth, there are things that are going to come and it rust will come and rust away. It will break. It will do all these things. I'm sure as you walk around in this town or village or country, there should be a house or a place that tells a story of how great that place was. And right now you look at it and you feel sorry for that place. And he continues to say in verses 1, not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and vermin, vermin stands for rust. I'm reading with NIV. NIV is easy for us to read in Africa, because if your language is a second language, if English is a second language, then it's better for you to use what you can understand. It's a bit easy for us. So I know I've heard that Baptists use King James, so please forgive me. And it says, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. In my country, Charles and his wife, his dear wife, Debbie, sorry, have visited many times, and they know a good bit about Uganda. But one of the things, if you have a good house in Uganda, you are going to build a big fence and a big gate. And on top of that, you have to hire a security guard. If you have money, that security guard can have a gun. And sometimes even people will have cameras around their compound to make sure no one breaks in. They are trying to protect whatever they have worked for, so that no one comes and takes it. At our house, we have, of course, a big, because I am married to an American, people automatically think I have a lot of money, even if we don't have money. So what do we have to do? We rent a house that has a big gate around it, and a wall, and has a barbed wire on top of the wall. And on top of that, we have a night watchman. He has a bow and arrow, because in Uganda you cannot be allowed to have a gun. And on top of that, we have two dogs, German shepherds. And when they bark, people know that you cannot go in that place, because you come back dead from the dogs. By the way, in Uganda, we don't keep dogs as babies. We keep them as security. So if you come in Uganda, don't be shocked by the way we treat our dogs. One of my first culture shock when I came to America was dogs were like people. That is what really shocked me. I was like, okay. I got somewhere and my first time in the Western world, I went to Canada, and there I experienced the love for our dear animals. And then from there I went to London, to England, and I went down from London to the south of England on a train. And this lady came to pick me up on a train station. And then she's like, let us rush, because my girls are waiting. So in my mind, I'm like, she has young women waiting for her. So we get there at her house. There were some two dogs waiting for her in the window. Like, oh, they're happy I'm back. I'm like, okay. Anyway, but for us, we just keep dogs because they protect us, not because they are children or babies like here. I'm not offending anyone. Please don't tell pastor, don't bring that man back. I am just telling you, because it doesn't really make sense in a country that people are so poor to feed a dog when there are many people starving. So if I did that, people would judge me. So that's why we come here. It's a shock for you. But then we have dogs for security. And even with all this, there was a missionary who had five security guards. He had five dogs, German shepherd, very tough dogs. One time they woke up, and six of the bicycles for his kids were stolen. And a lot of stuff were gone. And the watchman could not explain how that happened. And what happened, the dog is not even back. So even our system in the world, we put up so many security in the world, but still someone can find a way how to steal. You see, here, when you look at Russia meddling into American politics using the internet, and yet we know the system should be as secure as it can be. That is the world. But then he says what? But Store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves not break in and steal. The things you have just talked about storing, the people who should store here should be people who don't know Christ. But for us who know Christ, we should know better. We should know where to put our most treasured possessions, our money, our time. We should invest in the kingdom. If God has called you to give to the Philippines, do that. If God has called you to give to Uganda, you do that. If God has called you to give to the poor people in this community, you do that. You know, I've had some people who complain, who have told me they complain here, well, why should we go in Africa when there are people starving here? That is good. Before you complain, what have you done about it? Before I complain to the pastor, why are we going to feed the Philippines? Why are we going to Africa? And yet we have poor people here. You first do something about it before you come to me to complain. You see that? What you should do is this. Come to pastor and tell pastor. You know what, pastor? I feel like I am led because I see us doing things in Africa. I see us doing things in the Philippines. But I feel like I have a heart for the people here. So I am going to start a program. Pastor, would you join me and work with me and pray so I can get that program going? The people who complain yet do nothing are the people who make it hard for us even to invest here, to invest in heaven. Amen. If you are saved and you have understood God's word, you should know where to invest your most treasured material gains, if it be a car, if it be your money, if it be your time. Even nowadays Christians don't even know how to invest in their children, in their kids. Kids are getting destroyed. Especially here in the Western world. In Africa, we still spank our child. In Africa, the verse that says spare the rod and spoil the child, we understand it. And we have, there's a saying in Africa that says the ears of an African child and are on his behind. If you don't talk to the behind, they are not going to listen. Not only that, in the Bible, when God gave the Ten Commandments and the decrees in the Old Testament, He says, bind these on the heart, on the tablet of your heart, and also pass them down to your children. How many of us have time with our children to tell them about God's word? The thing here is that the older generation knows God, but the young generation does not know God. Why? Because we, as the older people, have not invested our time wisely by making sure our children know God's word. And by making sure they know about the salvation. When your children are born, because they are born in a Christian family, that does not make them Christians. They have to make their own decision. Why are the seats in the church empty? It is because we as parents are not investing our time wisely. We are not telling our children. We come to church, they stay home, playing video game, going fishing, going whatever makes them, what they are putting before God. And yet for us, as the older generation, we are coming to church, but if you are not investing our time wisely, And then he says the next point is, where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. If my love is on earth, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If my love, my desire, everything I love is in the car I bought, is on the most beautiful woman that I think I have, or is it because I have a big piece of land, and that's where I'm that's what I treasure, that's what I want. You build your own community, your own kingdom, your own empire. Then I'm sorry to tell you, one day they're going to die and they're going to leave all that behind. There's a story that is told of a man. This man was so rich. And one time he told God that I am going to die. But I want you to grant me one request before I die. And God told him, what? You're granted. And he says, I want to bring gold. Because I have so much gold. I want, when I die, I want to bring some gold with me to heaven. And God said, okay. So when the man died one day, he took with himself some gold. And when he got there, he found that the streets of heaven were made of gold. That made his gold that he treasured so much on earth useless. Because in heaven, gold was just stepped on. You see how useless the things on earth can be as in heaven. Our cars, our fancy life or good house does not really matter in the kingdom. Why? When we look at the life of our Master Jesus Christ, what happened? One person said, I'm going to come and follow you. And what did Jesus answer? The Son of Man does not even have where to lay his head. This is what Jesus told him. Jesus came from where there was every material you could imagine in heaven. He left glory. He left his throne and he came on earth and he lived as the poorest of the poorest. He was born in a manger in the dirtiest place ever. And he came to die for our sins. Because his heart, he loved us so much to die for us. His heart was for mankind to save us. And so only those people who have understood this are going to invest their life building the kingdom. I don't know what God has called you to do. All of us, it is not only the pastor who has been called to serve. All of us have been called to serve. It might not be that you have to go to Africa or the Philippines or go to work. But if you work, wherever you are working, do all the people know about Jesus in your working environment, workplace? Have you ever taken the time to share the gospel? See, the disciples, they don't treasure their lives, but they treasure their life in Christ. And that means they sacrificed everything. When Peter was captured and he was ordered, go, but don't speak in the name of Jesus again. When I was reading the book of Acts, one of the things that struck me the most, that after he was captured, Peter was praying and this is what he said, help us to preach your word more and more. Because his life did not mean much to him. But his life in Christ meant much. And so he was investing his time in preaching the gospel. Not making money, not doing anything. Preaching the gospel, investing in the kingdom. If God has given you money, if God has given you time, if God has given you good speech, if God has given you a heart to love people, invest that in the kingdom. Whichever God, all of us are gifted according to God's word. We are all gifted spiritually, and so all of us are called to serve and invest in the kingdom. So if our hearts are focused on the things of heaven, then we are going to invest wisely, because that's where. But if our hearts are here on earth, on the good house, on a beautiful family, on all these earthly things, we are going to end up miserable. One time when I was in Canada, I visited a family. This family, they were giving us, telling me how she had gone through a 12-year depression. First of all, people in Africa, we don't even know what depression is. Because we don't really suffer depression in Africa. Because I don't know why, but I think because we don't have much work like here. So my first understanding of depression is after I came here. So this lady is telling me, she went through a 12-year depression, and she was telling me why, because her house got burnt. She just got healed from depression about a year ago. And then you are living in this big house, about 3 stories, only 2 people. And in the middle of the house, there was a big Christmas tree that was about 20 feet tall. And then I'm standing there, I could not understand. She lost her house, went into a depression. A few years from there, God gave them money to build a better house. And she went through a depression. I could not just understand that. Maybe you people can understand, but I couldn't. But again, when we trust things of the world, this is what's going to happen. We are going to end up becoming miserable people. Especially if we are Christians. Amen. Riches, money, power, all those things all only lead to a life of misery. But God's word, investing in his kingdom, leads to joy and peace. Amen. And to glory. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you for listening. I'll just call my wife in front, and she's just going to tell you about the ministry and how you can work and share with us. But I want to thank you so much for listening. I'm called Pastor Ivan, and this is my wife. We have 2 kids, Levi and Hadassah, and his number 3 is cooking. In December 18th, we are going to meet him. His name is Jedediah Wayne Mukuru. God bless you.
Say thank you to everybody for allowing us to come, and I'll make it quick because I know we're running short on time. But I also wanted to thank the WMU ladies for everything that you have done for our ministry. I know that y'all recently made a bunch of dresses and stuff and sent them with our Uncle Charles and Aunt Debbie and brought them to Uganda for us, and we want to say thank you for doing that. It has meant a lot to us, and if I had some pictures with me, I would have showed them to you, but I forgot to bring them with me. But I want to share a little bit about the children's home school. This is what we wanted to focus on this trip with that we're doing here this next couple months. The school was recently opened in February. I think when I came 2 years ago, I had shared about us being in the process of starting this school. And we had just broke ground. We were still needing funds to build this school and everything. Well, in the past 2 years, God has just really blessed us, and we were able to complete the home and complete the school, and we moved into our new homes in February, and we started our school in February, and it just exploded from the beginning of this year. Before we moved, we were in a little 5-bedroom house that was rented out with about 40, I think we had 46 kids at that time, shoved in that little 5-bedroom house. And so when we moved out to the duplex homes that you saw in the video, we had 57 kids that moved up with us because we had some kids that graduated from the baby home. And this coming up January, we gained 8 more kids from the baby home. So we have more kids to add into our group coming up here soon. But when we started the school, when we moved from Jinja to Kamuli, we only had about 10 staff members. When we opened up the school and we started on the property and everything, we now have about 60 staff members between our school, our security guards, the farmers, all of our aunties that take care of our kids. We've got a lot behind us, and it has taken a lot to get these staff members out there and get them trained on what they're supposed to be doing. But God has been so good to us. We have been blessed with a fabulous staff behind us. The majority of them are good Christian people. We have a couple that are not Christians yet, but we are preaching the gospel to them. Those are mainly our farmers and our security guards. All of our teachers are Christian teachers. But with our school, we opened it up to the community. We wanted to use this as our main evangelical tool in that community. Where we are currently, it is a mainly Muslim area, high witchcraft area, and it needs the gospel. And that's one reason we moved out into this area, so that we could share the gospel with that community. We wanted to teach our children that we have in our home how to minister to the community, and that it's not just about them. They're not special just because they're in a home. God has a purpose for them, and that purpose is to evangelize to this community and to grow them spiritually in Christ. So we wanted to start with that community and teach our kids how to work with that. So with the school, we have about 143 village kids that come to this school. And they're from about 6 different surrounding villages that come to our school because there's no other schools around there. I don't know how many school kids we have in here. I see a couple of them. And I don't know how much you love school, but these kids love school. And they know the importance of needing that education, that some of them from these other villages are willing to wade across swamps with their books on top of their heads to come to school every single day. They're willing to get wet, walk in the rains, they'll walk miles down the road just to come to school because they want to get that education. And so with the school teachers that we have implemented a school plan that we want to share the gospel with them. So they're learning weekly Bible verses. Since February, they have learned a new Bible verse every single week. If you showed up on the property today and asked them to repeat their Bible verses, they could go on and on and on, all from memory. And mind you, these are Muslim kids that remember these things. And so they're going home and sharing those Bible verses with their parents and their relatives. And so that seed that we're planting in those little kids' lives are going farther into the community, because we know that even if we go hut to hut and go share the gospel with those people, that those adults are more likely to listen to their children than they are to listen to us. And we've seen a lot of progress from that and seen the community grow from that. And in the future, we pray that these children will come to know the Lord, and that their families will come to know the Lord through their children, and it will just continue to spread. But with the school system that we have, we had to set it as we wanted to make it an affordable education for these kids. Affordable is a very hard thing to do in a community like that, and even anywhere in Uganda. Now, you can't go to school for free anywhere in Uganda. You have to pay a school fee. You have to have uniforms. There's so many government regulations that you have to do. So we sat down with the community and with the village leaders and said, okay, what can you afford for each grade level? We have school kids from preschool up through fifth grade right now. Even though it says through fifth grade, we may have a 15-year-old in second grade class because he's never been to school before. He doesn't even know his ABCs. And so we are basically having to teach this village from scratch. I mean, the 15-year-olds are learning things that preschoolers should know. So we're working with these kids on this. But most of these people with the amount that we set for them cannot afford to go to school. But we don't want to tell them you can't come because you can't afford it. So we are working while we're here to see if we can get scholarships for each child. Right now, the school is being paid for under the children's home budget. And so we would like to be able to eventually move that money back towards the children's homes so we can do more with the agricultural stuff, more with our children, and be able to have the school on their own personal budget. But we don't want these kids to know that they're on, per se, scholarship. They know that they have sponsors and people in America that love them and care for them, and they're sending them letters or whatever, but they don't know that they're being paid for by these sponsors, because if they find out, then they take advantage of that scholarship, and we don't want them to take advantage. But we want to be able to raise at least $15 a month per child to send them to school. The importance of this is, especially with our girls, I don't know if we have any 10, 11-year-old girls in this room. I see one. Okay. But that young age, the village that we live in, the parents marry off their children at age 10, 11, and 12, at the little girls. And they expect them to start families. But if they're in an education system, it protects them from having to get married at such a young age. It's not safe for a child to be married at that young age. And there's so many things that can happen to them, happen to their families. And that's why you have kids in a situation that they're in right now, families that are in situations that they're in right now, because they don't have that education behind them as to why you don't do that. And so we want to bring those girls in and say, you come to my school and we'll make sure that you're taken care of. We have one girl that has come to us and said, I want to go to school. My father says no. She says that he told her that education for a girl is not important. Education is only for boys. Boys are the only ones that should be able to go to school. But she begged us to come, and so we allowed her to come into the school. The next day she came beaten and bruised the next day because her father found out she went to school. She says, I don't care if I get beat every single day, I'm going to come to school because I want that education. She went and moved in with her grandmother. But that's why we want this scholarship program, so we can be able to afford to put those type of girls in our school program. You come get that education because you know how important it is, so that one day you can better your life and get a better job in the future, be able to go to university, be able to do something that's more than just farming, start a business for yourself to better your life in some way. We even have some boys that come and they said, my parents won't pay for school. They don't think that the education is important because they've never been to school and they're fine. And so they said, well, we've gone next door and we found some money, we worked for it, and now we're going to school. And so they've paid their own way to go to school. So we want to just encourage you to find some way to minister to a child. It's only $15 a month, but that $15 a month provides that education for a child, provides that safety net for that child, provides an education along with health care. They're getting two meals a day at school. Every child gets treated if they're sick at that school. We have a nurse that stays on property. So if they come in that have a fever, they've got ringworms, they've got some skin disease, the malaria, whatever it is, they're being treated at that school. And so in the long run, that education system is not just education. It's a lot of little things that are involved in that education that come along with that $15 a month. So we want to just encourage you to go out to the table over there and go pick out a child and say, this is the child that we want to support at $15 a month. When you support a child, you actually support three within a year. Every term, you'll receive a different child's picture. So you'll actually be sponsoring three kids within a year's time if you continue to support throughout the year. So each term you receive a different picture of a different child. So it could be a boy one term, it could be a girl the next term. So, and if you continue over years, you have many kids that you've received pictures of and you're praying over and you're supporting. And you can even come with Debbie and Charles and come and see those kids on your own or send them a letter or something and encourage them to keep going in their education and keep going farther. I mean, it's like a McDonald's meal, you know, or a Starbucks coffee or something. Just give up that one thing a month to be able to send somebody to school. It means the world's difference to that child in that education system. But we also want you to come out to the table and just kind of take a look at some of the other programs we have going with the children's home and with the school and the church. Pick up some information and come out. Come back there and just talk to us and ask any questions, and we'll be glad to answer them. So we just wanted to say thank you for allowing us to come. My time's up, so and I know that y'all are needing to get out of here, but we just really appreciate you allowing us to come and supporting Charles and Debbie when they come to see us and everything, and supporting your pastor in this church, and we just want to say thank you.
Hey, this is Pastor Donnie. I wanted to thank you for listening in today. As you heard from Pastor Ivan Makulu and his wife Melissa from Uganda, would like to encourage you, if you feel led at all from hearing their message or more about their ministry, to partner with their ministry, be sure to go to the website at sunriseministriesinc.org. Again, that's SONRISEMINISTRIESINC.ORG, sunriseministries.org, to partner with this amazing ministry, making a huge impact on children's lives and even adults there in Uganda. Thank you again for listening. Again, look forward to having you back with us again for next week's message.